a little bit longer. You do something to stay engaged. For some of you, I don't mind if you sit down, but just stay engaged. If that's not helpful for you, maybe just stand just for a little bit longer. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit. Just want to invite just God to come. Just to do some more stuff before we go on to the next bit. So come, Holy Spirit. That's not just a prayer, Holy Spirit. We actually want your presence here. We love your manifest presence. You know, God is omnipresent, so he's always here. But we believe in a God of everywhere that loves to show up somewhere. He loves to show up somewhere. So just start engaging with him. Keep engaging with him. Calm. I just feel like we need to wait. Wait a little bit longer. Maybe just start speaking your thanks out to him. Just stay in an attitude of thankfulness. So right now, just maybe sing in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, just say thank you to Jesus. Shura mama nanae. Shuna mama mayana yaswe. You're so worthy, you're so worthy, God. Shura maya. Let's keep going a little bit louder. A little bit louder. Yes. Yes. Let's just pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him. Shuna mama maye. Shuna mama ye. Shura baba basura mama ya sukara. Yeah. Yes, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, God. We praise you. We praise you. Let's keep it going a little bit longer. Sometimes we need to learn how to linger longer. To linger longer. Can I encourage you, if you need to, move out of your rows. Maybe come up front. Do something. Just get out of your normal habits. Let's do something. Let's celebrate God's presence here. Okay, let's move out of your rows if you need to. Let's stand up. Let's engage. Keep pouring out your praise. So, I just feel like some of you need to dance. You need to stand on your chair. You need to go a little bit crazy for Jesus because he is worth it. He is worth it. He is worth going the extra mile. Can I just stand on a chair, go out, dance, do something, just because he is worth it. Shuna mama maye. Shuna mama marae. Yes! Yes, God! Oh! Oh! Shura mama mayana yasukara maye. Yeah, let's keep going. Shuna mama ye. Shuna mama maye. Whew! 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 Oh. Woo. 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 Shuna mama ye. Shuna mama ye. Just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Whoa. I understand that for some of you this might be new, but just so you know, we're crazy for Jesus in this room. We just love Jesus. We love Jesus. We can explain everything, and I'm happy to explain it afterwards, but just for this moment, just surrender. Surrender to Him. Not to me, but to Him. I say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are so worthy of our thanks. You're so worthy of our praise. Just need to linger longer, a little bit longer. Just say to Him you love Him. Say to Him He's your everything. Whoa. How great. Oh. Just stay engaged. If you're struggling to feel anything, don't worry. This is not about feeling anything. This is about worshiping the King. This is about the truth of worshiping the King. And you're not disqualified from worshiping because you don't feel anything. This is a moment of saying, God, even if I don't feel anything, you're still my Lord. You're still my King. You're my Dad. And you're worthy. Just stop for a moment and say thank you. You are worthy. You are worthy. How great is our Lord. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy of it all. How great is our Lord. Sing with me. How great is our Lord. Oh, we'll see. How great is our God. Again. Great is our God. Give it a ball with me. How great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. Yes!
How great is our God.
Again.
Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. Yes! How great is our God! Name above all names. Yes! My heart will sing how great.
One more time.
Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And our hearts will sing how great our God. You're so worthy.
The earth rejoice.
Woo! Yeah, let's applaud Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Oh, you know, this is what we will do in eternity. It's all about worshiping Him. And we've learned that when we linger longer, God is honored. And when we learn how to open our hearts and say, God, whether we're feeling it or not, You are so worthy. You're so worthy. You rescued us from the grave, from death. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. We love your presence, Jesus. Love your presence. Whew. You're at home with Him. He's right here. Oh. God, do whatever you want tonight. I don't mind what it looks like. As long as it's You. I don't need crazy for crazy's sake. I just want you. Do however you want to do it. Do however you want to do it. Just pour your affection out to him. Oh, Dad. Thank you. Spirit move. Spirit move. We yield to you, God. We yield to you, God. It's just this gentleman here on the left side with a blue shirt on, grey shirt on. Is that Keith? No. No, sorry, behind him. Chris, just keep receiving from God. Just feel that God is lifting you up on eagle's wings tonight. On eagle's wings. Just put your hands out in front of you or put it on your heart or do whatever you think is just to respond. Because I see the spirit of comfort over you. And strength is just pouring out inside of you. And I just saw the Lord picking you up. He's picking you up. And he said, I'm going to give you heavenly glasses. Heavenly viewpoint. And the Father is saying, I am your king, not your pain. Not your pain. So I say, the spirit of rejection, go off right now in the name of Jesus. Right now. Because the Father is lifting you up into heavenly places. And is giving you a new perspective on your environment. A new perspective on your circumstances. And in the kingdom, there is always a way out. And it feels like I see this lie over you. There is no way out. There's no way out. And I just feel that God is saying that he's giving solutions. He's giving solutions. I'm not sure what it is about, but I just speak strength over you right now in the name of Jesus. Just receive strength right now in the name of Jesus. I can just see it literally pouring into you. Just receive it. Here we go. Ha! Right now, just release the Spirit of the Lord over you right now. Whoa! Thank you, God. Here we go. Here he is. Here he is. Here he is. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Just keep receiving, everyone. Just one or two words for people.
Sally, would you just receive for me? I just have felt the Father speaking to me all weekend for you. And what I felt him say was that actually he wants to call you out as a prophetic evangelist. And I know that might feel tough to hear, particularly the latter part of that. But I feel like he's saying actually he's given you a real gift to people, to be around people and to bring them up and to bring them into his kingdom. And I just feel like actually what's happened is there's been some words over you that have said that you're not evangelistic. And I feel like he wants to break them off you. And I actually feel like he wants me to sing them off you, which I've never done before. But I'm going to go for it anyway. Dave, could you play a G for me? Is that all right? Your G. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Okay. Light up, light up. Because you have a choice, even when there. So Father God, we just speak that all over Sally, and we speak that over Keith as well. Keith, I feel that that's important for you too. I feel that you've got a part of this to play with Sally. I feel that there's a strong strategic gift in you, and I know you know that, but I feel there's a real father heart in you too, and I feel that there's a father heart to bring orphans back into the kingdom and to see them move, to see the Spirit of God move in Durham, to see the Spirit of God move in orphan hearts in this town, to see the needs of the poor met. Oh, shababa. Yeah, God, would you come and do it? Would you come and raise this wonderful couple? Would you speak to them? Would you guide them? Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come and break off any lies in the name of Jesus? Break it off now in the name of Jesus. I speak evangelistic strength in and over this couple, an evangelistic anointing. Oh, Holy Spirit, come.
There's a gentleman here seated with a sweater on in near the back row. Do you have a name? Richard. Could you stand up? I just feel the Father wants to say that you are my dear son. I love you with a passion. I love walking with you in the cool of the day. I love hearing your voice. I love spending those quiet times with you. I'm just so thankful that you've drawn so close to me and that you know my heart. And I just want to deposit in you treasures of my love. I just want to pour it out on you. Not so that you can do greater ministry or give it away. I just favor you. And it's going to overflow. It's going to overflow to people that you meet on the street. It's going to overflow to your neighbors, your family members that don't know me yet. But I pour out my love on you because I love you, because you are mine.
Yeah, I just feel the Father wants to add to that. I just saw the Father just standing with a magnifying glass over you, like he was magnifying you. And I just feel like it's about your significance. And I feel like you've walked into this room maybe feeling overlooked. And I feel that this moment with the Father is him saying, come on, I'm seeing you. I see you, you're significant. you're my chosen son, and I've chosen you in this moment. And I just feel that he just wants to break that lie once and for all in this moment. So I'd just love it if you could just repeat after me, I am significant.
Yeah.
And again, I am significant.
Yeah.
And one more time, I am significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you turn to a person next to you and give them a massive squeeze and say their father loves you.
Father loves you.
Should we thank the band? Haven't they done an amazing job tonight? Thank you so much, guys. I can see you could keep going, but we're going to stop now. We're going to stop now. Thank you so much, band. Really appreciate it. Don't I have an amazing team? Wow, come on. I know I'm biased, but wow, come on, so fun. Woo! So, here we go. You ready? Good, good, good. Well, I just wanted to say a massive thank you, really, for having us this weekend. It's an absolute privilege to come and serve Emmanuel Church, and obviously some of you come from other churches as well. And I just want to say thank you for being here today, listening, being open to the Holy Spirit, open to what the Father wants to teach us, really. And I just hope we've blessed you as best as we can. And just want to say, I really like you. I really, really like you. You are a great bunch of people. There's a lot of jokes about the North that I want to now say, but I won't. I won't go there now. I'm actually from the North, just from a different nation. So I feel I can make jokes like that. Before I get into my teaching, I just have asked a friend of mine, Jill, just to share, just for a couple of minutes, her passion. Because we as a team, as TSM, and as King's Arms, really, we are passionate about the kingdom of God, not only in a room like this, but out there where most of us spend the majority of our times. Just because I'm in meetings like this every day doesn't mean that all of us are. And nor should we, are we supposed to be. We're supposed to change our workplaces and our families and everywhere where we go, really, the school playground, whatever, if you're a teacher, to see your class changed. That is our mandate. And Jill, as a GP, does that stuff. She sees the kingdom of God all over the place. Loads of stories about healing, about extending God's kingdom and his love, really. So can we just welcome up Jill?
To be doing the job that I do, first of all, I know it's very, very unique and an amazing opportunity, because people come into my world every day bringing their sadness and their sorrows and their pain and their darkness. And I want to just say to you that I've been on a journey, like all of us, of identity. And there was a time when it overwhelmed me and I wanted to throw in the towel. I tried to give it up twice. It was just too hard. And I wanted to be in the church where it all goes well and you can pray for everyone and no one's going to sue you and everyone's going to get healed. But the Lord wouldn't let me. And I went on this journey of identity, and I know who I carry and who I am. I know who I am and who I carry, and it's made all the world of difference. So now, I mean, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in a minute, but just, you may be a bit shocked about what you can actually do with people when the Holy Spirit shows up, like he did tonight when my beautiful friend sang that song. It was so much courage. And all I do is I just try and rely on the Holy Spirit that little bit much more and use a bit of courage. And I believe in medicine, and I believe in healing through natural, beautiful processes of the human body. I believe in lifestyle. I believe in, you know, health and all that kind of thing. And God, and we do heal ourselves if we look after ourselves. I believe that. I believe in medicine, and I use it. I use it, and I use it with wisdom, and I ask the Father about it, you know, which medicines to prescribe. And when I prescribe them, I pray as I leave the room, let there just be that little bit more of efficiency and efficacy and all the rest of it. I do that. And then I believe in miracles, and I believe in the supernatural. And I believe in all three. And sometimes it's this and this and this and this and this and this, or just this. But I always ask the Father, Lord, how are you going to do it this time? And it's so interesting, you know, and I would say probably once a day I will get to pray with someone. And it's just, you know, that courage and that love for people, and knowing how I can work with Holy Spirit to actually just go that little bit further than what I would otherwise have done. And it's beautiful. And last week I had my first ever referral from a colleague who's a Muslim to help a woman with spiritual needs, right? That's never happened to me. It was actually written on her medical records, refer to Dr. Crono for spiritual support. So we've really, like, there's a watershed moment in that, and I just feel like I want to just say to you healthcare professionals, you can do so much more if you will work with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I do. So a couple of stories, a physical type of supernatural healing and more of a sort of emotional, beautiful healing of a woman's heart. So there, I've got this Polish chap who's always got shoulder pain, and like 2 years he keeps ringing me up and coming down, shoulder pain, my shoulder hurts, oh my shoulder hurts. And I've like done a steroid injection in it 3 times over the last 2 years, and he just keeps ringing up. And recently he rang up, said, oh, I want a doctor, I want an injection. I said, look, it doesn't work. You know, we've done physio, we've done the medicine, we've done the injections, it's not going to work. And the Holy Spirit just said, I want to heal him today. So I said, okay, I'll do it for you if you let me pray for you. So this is on the phone. So he comes down, and I do the injection, and they say, right, come on, let's do the prayer now. Stand up. And we do the prayer. I've got a relationship with this guy, don't worry. He's like a friend, really. So I pray for him, and I just command that thing to leave in Jesus' name, and off he goes. So 2 week follow-up, no pain, it went, it just completely went that day, never came back. And he said, doctor, I think it was your prayer. So, you know what I mean, it's just fun, isn't it? And the other story, which I just think this will just absolutely melt your heart, how beautiful is our Jesus. I have a lady that I've known for a number of years. I never knew this about her, but she had a cocaine addiction of £600 a week. Her father died, left her an inheritance. She loved her father. She was desolate without him. Her partner left her, and she had a stillbirth. So she was just lost, 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 and her dog died. You know, you wouldn't believe it, the sadness. So she just turned to drugs, but no one knew. She had a job. She just carried on, and then she was almost out of money, and just she came to me, and with the shame, she admitted it, and I said, why didn't you tell me all this time? And I just looked to Jesus. I said, Lord, what are we going to do to pick this woman up? And he began to speak to me, and I ministered to her that day, and I prayed with her, but she came back again a couple of weeks later, and in that time, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to give her something to look at, something to listen to, and something to read. 3 things, because I want to communicate to her my Father's love. The Father. That, and I said to her, your addiction is rooted in, it's a substitute for the absence of a father's love. And she said, I know. But so great was the gaping hole in her heart. So I knew it had to be really good. So what I did was that song that we sang earlier, the mention of your name, I have it on my phone, and I have some headphones. And the Lord told me to go and buy her pink lilies, really big pink lilies, because she had a feminine issue as well. They had to be really girly and princessy. So I bought her this big bouquet of flowers, and I gave her the Father's love letter in a letter form with her name on it. You know that love, Father's love letter? So I said to her, this is what I've been praying for you, and this is what I've got for you. And I gave her the flowers. Oh! And I said, this is the letter. And I want you to listen to this music right now in the surgery. So she did. She listened to it, and the tears just rolled down her face. It was just so beautiful. And, you know, there's a lot of story after that, which I haven't got time to go into. But we she has the most beautiful open spirit, because she's not saved yet. But this is the thing. They don't have to be saved for Jesus to love them and to heal them. And I want you to take your healing gifts and your prophecies out where they need it. People are dying and perishing and suffering. And we have all this resources. And I actually believe, as a GP, but actually anyone here who works in the work world, we have a calling and a responsibility and an assignment on us to resource earth with heaven's resources. We cannot keep them to ourselves. They will just wither away. So I just, whenever I can, I try and give, and the Lord just gives me more. And he protects me, and, you know, I just want to say, 10 seconds of insane courage, you can change someone's life forever.
Wow. Amazing. That's the kind of people I work with every day. Isn't that exciting? I don't have to be a GP to hear all the stories. It's great. Fantastic. So, tonight, I want to quickly talk about the supernatural power of healing. And we're going to do that from a story of Mark 5. I'm not actually going to read the scriptures. I'm going to summarize it. But you can look with me if you want to. And here is the reality, and here is the amazing news. The light is only getting lighter. And the kingdom is getting brighter and brighter. And we just hear story after story after story. I can genuinely say that I hear every day stories of the kingdom breaking through. Of Jesus revealing himself. It's just happening all over the place. We've got a TSM Facebook page. The TSM is the course that we lead if you are here for the first time tonight. And it's called Training for Supernatural Ministry. And we lead that as a team here. And that Facebook page today has been going absolutely crazy by story after story after story. I think there's about 5 stories today alone and 4 yesterday. And it's just exploding, the kingdom. And the good news is that doesn't only happen in Bedford. God wants to do it here, and he wants to do it all over the world. And it's not only in Africa, it's not only in Asia, it's not only in South America, it's in Bedford! Of all places, can you imagine? If God can show up there, he can show up anywhere. Amen. So even this week, we had a lady at TSM, she's a student, and she was in the office with her boss at work, and she said to her boss, her boss said, was complaining about her foot, about pain in her foot. And I was like, well, she didn't do anything in the moment. And she's like, oh, I didn't say anything. I should have offered to pray. Anyway, she texted her boss in the evening saying, hey, I would love to pray for healing, you know, as I'm a Christian, and I would just love to pray for you. And then, being really nervous, there was a long pause, wasn't an answer for a while. And she knew, the student, she knew that this lady had her grandma was a Christian, and she unexpectedly died because of a disease. I'm not sure which disease, but died. And that made her quite bitter about Christianity and about God. So sending her a text was a massive deal for her. And about after a couple of hours, her boss responded and saying, wow, thank you so much. I would love for you to pray for me. Amazing, isn't it? How brave. Very courageous. And so next day she goes into the office. And she says to her boss, okay, let's sit down. Take your shoes off. So she takes the shoes off and they pray for healing. And the pain just goes lower and lower and lower. I think it goes from 7 to 5 to 1. And then they leave it. And then in the evening, she gets another text message from her boss and saying, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. I have no pain in my foot. Thank you so much for praying for me. Just a random person, a student that has been brave and saying, God, I want to look more undignified for you. I'm happy to do that for you. And we have, okay, I can tell you tons of stories of things happening, but we shall move on, shall we? And here's the reality that power and love go together in the kingdom of God. So we're going to read about the story of Jairus. And about the woman with the issue of blood. Now, scripture actually intertwines those stories. And I think there are some beautiful reasons for that. That they are coming together.
And what we are seeing here is that power and love come together. Because God's power is not so that he can show off. It's so that he can reveal his love. So when someone gets healed, when the Father says, buy a bunch of lilies, that's not about his power or accuracy of hearing his voice. It's about revealing his love. Now, that's the pattern of today. We've just been going on and on and on about that. Because it's true. That's what the whole point is of the kingdom, the gospel. He wants to reveal his love to his people. So, we have here the story of Jairus. Now, Jairus, he was a synagogue ruler. And a synagogue ruler was the important person in town. He would have known all the scriptures really well. He would have been a Jew. He would have been of important standing in that area. Now, Jesus is arriving by boat in that area. And we know in the area that he arrives, it doesn't exactly say which town, but in nowhere near that area where he arrives are any big cities. There are none. They're all small villages. So everyone would have known Jairus. So Jairus, what he does, his daughter is ill, so ill that she's dying. And he says, I only have one more option, and that is Jesus. So Jesus arrives, he goes to Jesus, sit on his knees in the sand, humbles himself, surrenders to Jesus and says, only you can save me. Only you can save my daughter, heal my daughter. And Jesus very graciously says to Jairus, I'll come with you. And as Jesus is walking with Jairus, someone, the woman with the issue of blood, touches Jesus' cloak. Now, many of us know the story. And Jesus turns around, heals the woman, and then restores her to community. And there's a couple of lessons that we can learn from that. And the first that we're going to talk about is about Jairus. We're going to look at Jairus' angle first, and then we're going to look at the side of the one with the issue of blood. And here is Jairus' lesson. Going after impossibilities requires surrender. It requires surrender. If we want to see the kingdom of God come, if we want to see all those wonderful things happening that you've been hearing about, all the stories, if you are hungry for more, like Jairus was, he can't stay in his house with his family. He has to go to the town and humble himself. And this is what he does. It says there's a big crowd around Jesus. So everyone knows Jairus, and Jairus knows everyone. Now, Jairus is the kind of guy, when he walks through a crowd, the crowd goes out of the way for him. Yeah, he's that important. And what he does is an incredible sign of surrender, because he sits on his knees. Now, that is something that people will do for him, not him doing that to others. Because he is a man of power and importance. And to say in the context of the ancient Near East, to say, I'm going to sit on my knees, is a massive deal. Because the whole crowd is looking. Look, isn't that Jairus? Isn't he the one that knows all the scriptures and all the laws? And isn't he the one that teaches us and is the important guy? What is he doing on his knees with this Jesus? With this Jesus. And Jairus says to Jesus, please come with me. You're my only hope. You're my only solution. So Jesus goes with him. And then Jesus turns around because a woman with an issue of blood is touching him. So can you imagine that your daughter is dying and you're the important person in town, and now suddenly you have this outcast, the person that is not even allowed in the city limits, that is supposed to be outside because she's unclean. She comes through the crowd, and Jesus apparently turns his face from Jairus. Such a powerful moment. He looks at the person that is not important, the person that is unseen, the person with injustice, and he turns around and he looks at her rather than him. And what happens is he ends up with a dead daughter. So now, Jairus has to wait.
and he's only got a couple of options. Two, actually. Stay or go. And it gets so bad that actually the servants of Jairus come to Jairus and say, your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And then Jesus turns around once he's finished dealing with the woman with the issue of blood and says, do not be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And then he goes with Jairus and raises the daughter from the dead. See, if Jesus would have gone just with Jairus and healed the daughter, the whole family would have been thankful. But now, Scripture says, the whole family was filled with awe, because there wasn't just healing power, there was resurrection life. See, waiting on God in our trials sometimes will release resurrection power when we learn how to wait well rather than run off. And so often, the person next to us, the person next to us who's sitting next to us in church, gets the breakthrough that we have been praying for. And apparently, Jesus is turning his face away from you. Sometimes it feels like that. It's not true, by the way. But sometimes it feels like that. And the person next to you, the person that's just become a Christian, the person that you know is sinning, the person that is not praying as hard as you are, the person that hasn't been in church as you are, they get healed. Or their person gets healed. Or they get the job that you wanted. Or they get a breakthrough you wanted. Or they get the joy that you've been praying for. And they've done less for it. They've done less for it. They haven't learned the scriptures. The woman with the issue of blood probably knew no scriptures. Nothing at all. We don't know that. But it could be. And so often, we see this in the context of church, that other people get a breakthrough before you do, that you've been longing for, especially if it's in the same area that you wanted. And you've got a choice. You've got a choice to stay and celebrate what God has done, or to even emotionally shut down and become cynical against what Jesus hasn't done in your life yet. I had one person, I shared about how my depression went in one moment about 10 years ago. I shared that story once, and then I had a guy coming up after me, and he was fuming, and he lost it against me. He said, how dare you share that story of what God has done in your life while there's people in this room struggling with depression? And I understood his pain. But the reality is, we have to learn to celebrate what God is doing in someone else, because that's what family does. That's what family does. And if we learn how to be grateful for the person next to us, we can participate in the miracle that they've got for ourselves. We can receive the prophet's reward of what has happened and get that for ourselves. Because in the end, Jairus got the miracle. Way bigger than he thought would happen. This is what we say at TSM all the time. Hearing stories, we tell a lot of stories, and we have a team full of world changers. And they often struggle with comparison. Often struggle with, oh, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. That hasn't happened in my life yet. And we constantly say, learn to celebrate what God is doing in someone else, because it will cultivate your relationship with God yourself. It is crucial in a culture if you want to see the kingdom of God come. It's like, oh, wow, it's amazing. I sometimes have to do it. I've seen tons of stuff. I've seen amazing stuff. But I actively sometimes have to say, Jesus, thank you that you've done that. Thank you that you've given that person inheritance or loads of money. Or thank you that my friend is getting married while I'm still single. Or thank you so much. I love it, God. I celebrate it. And you know what? My attitude has completely changed. That I rarely struggle with these things. But when I do, I'm like, Thank you, Jesus. I spent time. Thank you, Jesus, for that gift. Thank you for what you've been doing. Thank you. That is you, Jesus. You have shown up. It's incredible. Thank you, Jesus, for the woman with the issue of blood. Thank you that you healed her. Thank you that you restored her. Thank you that you removed her shame. Amazing God. Although she broke all the societal rules, all the cultural rules, it's amazing. Thank you so much for that homeless person that's getting all the attention right now. Thank you so much. I just prayed a blessing on him, success on him. Bless him, God. Can we be a community like that? Can we be a community that genuinely celebrates each other and actually overcomes our jealousy? We do not ignore jealousy. We're all jealous. If you think you're not jealous, you're lying. Either to me or to yourself. It just happens. It's part of life. Especially if you want to raise up world changers in your church. If that's your passion, if you actually want to see people outgrow you, it's going to hurt. As a leader especially, if you see people that are actually more gifted than you, you have two choices. Encourage them and raise them up, even when you're not getting the attention anymore. Or you can say, I'm the limit. Now, none of us say that, but I meet a lot of us like that. And I have to do that myself. I was like, wow, God is doing amazing things. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give them space. I'm happy for them to get all the attention. And if I'm not happy, I'll become happy. I'll become happy. I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I promise. Jairus surrendered his power, his status, so that he could get the miracle. Are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to do, after decades of Christianity, when we know the Bible inside out, are we willing to say, God, to be honest, I know nothing, but I want to see more of you. I want to see more of you. You end up with awe of God. Thank you, Jesus. So, we had a friend of ours who, she was a student at TSM as well, and we do outreach. It's a mandatory part of our course. And not everyone always enjoys it. Most of us do, but not everyone. And she said, okay, we were outside of M&S, we had this big tent, and we did prophesying in town. And what she did was, okay, well, you know what, I think today my role is intercession. Really, it was fear, but there we are. So she said, I'm just going to buy some shoes at M&S. So she left the team on Saturday afternoon, went into M&S and just buys some shoes, goes shopping for some shoes. Now, the amount of times I find people in Costa in our town on outreach days is incredible. And they're like just waiting for the right person to show up. Absolutely hogwash. It's hilarious. No judgment at all, but you know. Anyway, so she says, halfway through looking through the shoes, she feels the Holy Spirit say, hey, what are you doing? I thought you were doing outreach. I thought you were going to prophesy over people and see people encountering my love. She was like, oh, yes, Lord. You know, I love what's happening, but I'm just interceding. I'm praying. It's like, but he said, I don't want you to intercede. I've got it covered. So she's like, all right, Lord. She had a choice in that moment. To either abdicate or push through her fear. And she's so brave because she said, all right, God. She walked down begrudgingly. First two girls that come walking over, two teenage girls, they come walking over into the tent. Couple of seconds after she walked out, she gives it a go, prophesies over them. They massively encounter God, and they say, how can I meet this Jesus? How can I meet this Jesus? If you know this lady, this student, she works on our finance team of church. She's very happy hiding away doing the admin of the church. But actually, God did something profound through her. And when she told the story of how she surrendered, then everyone thought, wow, that means I can do it. That means I can do it. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. This is what Catherine Coleman used to say. amazing healing revivalist. God is not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. You don't have to be the amazing evangelist for God to use you. You just need to be surrendered and say, God, will you give me an opportunity? And I'll go through the awkward to see the awesome. Then next, we look at the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus. But really, the end of the story is not her touching Jesus. It's Jesus restoring her. So what is happening is this woman is touching Jesus. And she bustles and through the crowd. And she touches him. And again, remember that everyone will have known her. For 12 years, scriptures say, she had been ill. For 12 years. And says she spent all her money on physicians. And nothing worked. If anything, it got worse. It got worse. Can you imagine the disappointment that she lived with? Trying everything, spending all her money, and having to live, if she had a family, scripture doesn't say that she had a family, outside of the family home, outside of the walls. Can you imagine, outside of all the friends, and she makes a choice, a courageous choice, because hearing the name of Jesus brings courage and it brings faith. So she goes straight through the crowd, touches him, gets instantly healed, which is amazing. Absolutely instantly healed. And I'm absolutely convinced that people are getting healed tonight. I'm really excited. We're going to go there in a moment. And I just love that she gets healed. But before Jesus sees anything, she's hiding back in the crowd. Because what happens? She got a physical healing, but not wholeness yet. And Jesus is so kind because he knows exactly what we need. How many of us in this room even are hiding in the crowd because we think we're the outcast. We think that we're not enough. And this is what shame says. We're not enough. I don't belong here. We're not enough. I'm too different. And she lived with shame. See, if she would have left that day, she would have left healed. But her sickness had become so real in her life that had become her identity. And it became shame of who she really was. And God does this amazing thing. Jesus says this amazing thing. He turns around in the crowd, knowing that everyone would have known her. He says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And she comes. She's being so brave, so brave. And I want to ask everyone tonight to be that brave as well. If you're struggling with shame, if you're struggling with things that have happened to you, if you're struggling with things that you have happened to others, if you are struggling with the sense of I am not enough, this is your moment tonight to say, come out of the crowd. Make yourself known. Make yourself seen. Because this is what shame does. It thrives in the darkness. It thrives in hiddenness. It thrives not in the crowd, but right just outside of the crowd. You may be sitting in the room, but not showing up in the room. Whether that is here, whether that is home, whether that is your workplace. She makes this massively brave decision. She comes out of the crowd. Everyone can see her. She says, "It was me. It was me." And then something happens that is my favorite moment. That's my favorite moment of this whole story. And this is a moment where Jesus does something and says something that he does nowhere else in Scripture. And I think it's a massive, massive statement. He does it nowhere else. He says this thing nowhere else. Don't look at your Bible. Nowhere else. He says this. So right now he says, she's in front of him. All the crowd is looking in, and he says this one word that will change a life. And it's this word, daughter. Daughter. And it's the word of restoration. It's the word of restoration. See how power and love work together. We're not just doing a healing service so that you can get physically healed. We want to not do any healing, any spiritual gifts without love, because Jesus didn't do it. And that's the reason it looked differently every time, because God restored people, restored their worth, their value. And he says to her daughter, and I can just see the love in his eyes when he looks at her, not caring about anyone else in the crowd. And he said, daughter, what does daughter mean? It means you're mine. You're mine. Because especially in Roman culture, what would have happened is when you say son or daughter, that is irrevocable, you're mine. It means you are mine and you can never be not mine again. It's a word of identity. And now he replaces her shame, takes it upon himself once again, and says, no shame for you anymore because you belong. You belong. He nowhere else says in entire scriptures says that. Isn't that beautiful? And then there is this phrase, daughter, your faith has made you well, or has saved you, some translation said. That word is sozo. Your faith has made you well. That sozo in the Greek means saved, delivered, made whole. Saved, delivered, healed, and made whole. That's what Jesus does when he touches us. He does it holistically. He does it with wholeness. He removes our shame. And I know there are people in this room, and every time I talk around this subject, there are people that internally you've not shown up for a long time. Maybe you're in the room, but you've dialed down because you've disappointed. Maybe you're a little bit angry with God or with people because of what you've been going through. Now, I do not want to talk about healing without saying, I understand that is painful. That is painful. And I'm not brushing over that whatsoever. But can I say that Jesus wants to restore us? And he wants to reveal his love even tonight. This week we had a gentleman we prayed for healing at TSM. And actually, he didn't get healed. But what he did get was an amazing revelation of the Father. And he was just crying as he shared, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if I get healed or not healed. I would like to get healed, but it doesn't matter. He said, because I now know that it's not my identity. It's the Father loves me. Father loves me. Are you willing to show up again and say to Jesus, restore my soul, remove my shame? And he will. He will. You are enough, daughter. So your prophetic word for you today is, come out of hiding. You belong to me. I'm for you, not against you. See, when you're in hiding, the world misses out on you. It misses out on you. The lie of the enemy says, I'm different and therefore I don't belong. It's rubbish. You are different. Congratulations. You are. That was the whole point. That's the point of our fingerprints. It's the point of our DNA and our genetics. You're meant to be different. That's why we're not robots. But that's exactly the reason you fit in. That you fit in, that you belong. And then lastly, and then we're going to pray. He says to the lady, your faith has made you well. Isn't it incredible that he didn't attribute faith to Jairus, he attributed faith to her. And actually, one chapter before that, in Mark 4:40, he says to the disciples, you've got no faith. You've got no faith. Now, he said all kinds of things about faith all the time. You have little faith, you have not so much faith. You have no faith. But this particular moment, he said to the disciples, you know, the important guys, people like that, he said to them, you've got none.
You can sit in the front row all happy clappy, but you've got no faith. None whatsoever. And then he says to the lady on the back row, but you that no one pays attention to, your faith is going to make you well. Isn't that incredible? That so many people in this room, you've discounted yourself from having any faith. Not faith in the sense of I believe in God, but faith in the sense he will use me to do anything in this world. And the reality is, he does have given you faith. And he declares over you today as a community, as an individual, every person in this room, you have faith. You do have faith. And you only need a little bit. As small as a mustard seed. And he can use it, he can grow it, he can water it, and he can grow it. That's his job. Your job is believing that you've got it. That you've got it. And please reject the lie over your life that God doesn't want to use you. Because God, all through scripture, uses losers. All kinds of losers. And again he is saying, it's not about the powerful, it's about everyone. It's not about the powerful, it's about you. It's not about the clever people, it's about you. It's not about... Get the point! Moses, he struggled. I'm not going to throw through all of it. You just believe it. Believe it. He wants to use you. And you know what? God is doing it all the time. All the time in this time. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. A couple of friends of ours went to Russia last week from King's Arms. They saw 40 people healed in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. There's this girl, she was on TSM last year, she's part of our church. She laid hands on a guy who had a slipped disc. And she prayed, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And she physically felt the bones move under her hands as he got healed. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We see healing after healing after healing. Another friend of mine in Denmark did TSM 2 years ago. She prayed for a lady in her church who had one kidney stone because she had given away a kidney stone. They don't grow back. It's medically impossible, I think. Is that right? Sorry, kidney, not kidney stone. Kidney.
She didn't want the stone back.
It's the third session today. You don't want the stone back. Kidney, sorry, kidney. Anyway, they prayed, laid hands on it, and would say, in the name of Jesus, kidney, come back. She got a scan, and two kidneys were there. That is crazy. That happened in the West, can I remind you? It's just... amazing what God is doing all over the place. And these are all recent stories. A lady came to King's Arms, and I don't quite know the full details anymore. But anyway, she had a deformity in her womb. And Amanda actually prayed for her, and I think a couple of others. She got back to Dubai, where she was from, got a scan, and the deformity was gone, and her womb was completely perfect, and she fell pregnant. That actually happened when Amanda prayed for freedom. Not necessarily about the healing. Amazing how God restores the whole person. Again, story after story after story. So can I just invite the team up, because we're going to just bring some words of knowledge. And then I just want to cue the video. I've got a video, just part one, please. And we're going to watch the video. And it's a video from Bethel about how a student in their supernatural school prayed for someone. And then after that, we're going to bring a whole lot of word of knowledge. Words of knowledge, and then we're gonna pray. Yes? Happy with that? Good. So can we cue the video, please?
So I'm an occupational therapist by profession. Being trained the way I've been trained, we are taught to critically think. I had friends that came through the School of Ministry who would come back to my hometown and say, Jess, we see you there, we see you there. The first few weeks of school, I would sit there going, this place is crazy. If I'm honest, the first few miracles that I would supposedly see or be in a meeting and someone would testify to it, I would always come with my medical approach. Or if someone said, my back pain has gone down from an 8 to a 2, I was like, did it really go down, or are you just telling me that to feel better about myself? I wanted to believe it. in my mind would always stop me from believing it. If God could heal here, why wasn't he healing back home? As the school year went on, in a beautiful moment with him one day, he just said to me, "Jess, I've never called you to understand me first. I've called you to trust me." I just began learning about the responsibility of healing. It's not on me, it's on him. And all I need to do is trust him. I don't need to understand him. And so I went up to Ashland, and I was sitting in a coffee shop and reading a set work of school, God's General. And she describes this old little lady hitting individuals who were in wheelchairs on the chest with her Bible, and they would get up and run. At that exact moment, a woman was pushed in a wheelchair into the coffee shop, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "These revivalists wouldn't have taken the risks that they took if they didn't fully believe something would happen." And then her husband wheeled her out the coffee shop, and I was like, "Okay, let's go." And she proceeded to tell me that she had a disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's a neurological condition, which I immediately was aware of what was possible in that moment, and not much was possible. And we started praying, and honestly, that weight of glory was gone. So it was a complete faith decision in that moment. That night, got back home, and I had a random message from someone I didn't know, and it said 5 minutes later with a link. It was this woman running, so funny, running across the car park, which is impossible. And I just fell to my knees and just started worshiping. And Monday I get an email from her. And I didn't realize at that point the degree of healing that had happened in her life. And the one thing she said was, "I can finally pick up my baby girl again." And at that moment, it just felt like I was giving a child her mother back. Something that I felt was I didn't have necessarily. I've never had more hope that he can do the same for my mom. And I can't wait for when that happens. And she's running across car parks, screaming the name of Jesus, and holding me. It's gonna be the best.
Just play part two for me if you want to. Even if you don't want to, please as well. Okay, let's do words. Okay, what we're going to do is this. Sorry, let me just explain it. sorry, we'll get there. What we're going to do is we're going to get just a whole series of words of knowledge. If that is you, I just want you to wave at me. And then as soon as that is done, we're going to start praying for everyone that has responded. Yeah? Okay. No, actually, that went. No. I'm joking, sorry. Go.
Cool. So I had three. The first one I had was fibromyalgia, and I think you're a woman. The second one...
Just wait, is there anyone here? Yeah, okay.
Cool. The second one I had was an issue in, I think it was the right eye towards the retina. Is that anybody?
Yeah, okay.
And then the third one was... I felt like a pain, like right at the top of my back around here, and it was like a really tight, tense pain. Is that anybody? Wow.
Several people.
Well done. Yeah, so I had the same, like a pain here, or shoulders, so people put their hand up for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had people that are having trouble sleeping. There's people here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and also just headaches that are not just one-off, but like you're regularly getting headaches. Is that anyone? Yeah, okay.
Good.
Yeah, I did have shoulder as well, so that's in the mix. So shoulder. So I feel God's really saying that. I also felt that there was somebody here who was due to have a scan. I felt particularly that God wanted to do a creative miracle in that. So I don't know if that would apply to anyone.
About to have a scan.
About to have a scan.
Anyone? Just wave at us. Okay, yeah.
And I also had earache in right ear as well. So earache as well would be another one.
Right ear problems? Yeah, okay.
Okay. And I also had, I think I had wrist as well. No, and food allergies. Sorry, two.
Food allergies. Who's? Okay.
Food allergies and
wrist. Left wrist?
Left wrist, yeah.
Man or a woman?
Woman.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Okay.
Well done.
So I had abdominal pain, particularly down the left side. Might be a recurring problem.
How long have they had it?
Probably a long time, actually,
who
on and
that?
Off.
Just wave. Abdominal pain.
Anybody? IBS type pain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And knees. Creaky knees. Maybe kneecap problems. Here. Oh, that's
just
a good. Always a good bet, isn't it?
That, a man or a woman?
I know
there's lots. We'll play for you anyway, but I just feel.
Yeah, I think ladies. I think ladies.
Okay, and how long have they had it?
Maybe 6 months to a year,
and
maybe
how did
longer.
They get it?
Well, it's probably arthritic wear and tear sort of things.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gil.
Okay.
I had a picture. It was kind of like an X-ray, and it was the right lower lung was cloudy. Is that anybody?
Does that relate to anyone?
No, I'm okay to be.
Just wave at me if you. Anything with the right lung?
And it was the bottom, and it was cloudy.
Okay.
Okay. It was an X-ray.
Good.
And one more, and this is a current thing, and I think it may be an injury. I'm not exactly sure of the injury, but it's pain from the back left ear down the neck. But it starts in the right here. In fact, I've got it going now, so I know it's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Just about the chest thing, it could be, sorry, for my medical knowledge, because you've got the X-ray. I mean, it could be fibrosis or some sort of respiratory problem that just shows up as scarring or breathlessness, heart failure. So if anybody's got anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Well done. Well done.
Okay.
I had someone struggling with epileptic attacks. Or how you call it. Is there anyone else with epilepsy struggling? And then someone, and it might be the same one, but someone just that randomly faints. There's just sometimes you just faint. Just very briefly. Okay, sure. We'll take it. Good. Can I have the piano player up, please? So we're going to pray. So if that was you, can you stand for me? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're all church, and I've been saying all day that we all got what it takes. So you are going to pray. The rest that is not standing, pray. But I'm going to talk you through it. So I want everyone that is stood up because of a word of knowledge, just to put your hand up in the air. The rest of us, can we gather around these people? And if you have someone with you, you can put your hand down. But don't pray yet. So don't talk about it yet. Don't say anything yet. Maybe briefly say what the issue is. If you're standing because of a word of knowledge, put your hand up high until someone's with you. If someone's with you, you can put your hand down. Someone there. There is someone at the back. There's no one there. We're not going to do anything till we've got people with everyone. There's still a hand up there. Can we get that? Okay, great. Just there's not a two there. Can we quickly get some more people there? Just spread out. Anyone still have got a hand up in the air? Okay. So here's what you're going to do. The scripture talks about that we don't pray for healing.
we declare healing. Because we have put, words are powerful and we carry the kingdom inside of us. So we're going to release healing, not only pray. So quickly ask them what the problem is, and then I want you to go ahead and declare healing over them right now. Go for it. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come. We declare healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough right now. I say, insomnia, go right now. Fits, leave right now in the name of Jesus. Neck pain, be healed right now. Epilepsy, leave in the name of Jesus. Spirit. Come. Spirit of infirmity, leave right now in the name of Jesus. We declare utter healing. Leg pain, go. Back pain, be healed. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Healing, come in the name of Jesus. Right, declare it right now. In the name of Jesus. Shorabababayasaka. Okay. Okay, what I want you to do is stop praying for a moment. And then if you can test, not everything can be tested here. If you can test it, I would like you to try something that you couldn't do before. Just stop praying right now, please, everyone. We don't need long prayers. The Pharisees did that. We don't need to do it. So if you can test it quickly, move it, do something, stretch, touch the floor, anything that you couldn't do before. Not everyone can do that, I understand that. Okay, so, listen up. If you are 80% or more healed or improved, just quickly wave at me. Wow, come on. Yes, Jesus. What is happening? Okay, can you stop for one moment? Thank you. What's happening there? Just can you stop praying there for a moment? Is that all right? Thank you. Sorry. I'm Dutch. Sorry. I'm fine. Sorry, just go on, yeah.
It was about the neck tension symptoms, and it just feels a lot easier, a lot more relaxed, less tense, more movement.
So what's the pain between 1 and 10 before we pray?
It's only about 5 at the minute, but it can get really nasty.
And how much is it now?
And it's gone down.
2? Nothing. Yeah. It's completely gone. Wow! Amazing. Wow, thank you, Jesus. What else?
Well, I asked for 2 things to be healed. And I understand that God gives me patience. So I asked for 1. I'll wait for the other. I just don't seem to have what I had in my knee. I had arthritis.
Okay, did you have pain today when you were in the room?
I had pain getting here, and then I had pain going away and coming back tonight.
Okay.
And I can't do that. No, I mean.
How much pain did you have when you walked in the room, between 1 and 10?
Just about 5 or 6.
Okay. Can you just go through your knees? It's completely gone. Or how much have you got left?
I don't know. But, I can do that, and I haven't been able to do that in ages.
You can't normally do that. Wow! Come on, thank you, Jesus. There was 1 more here. What's happening here?
I have major knee problems. I had a major knee surgery several years ago now. And there is pain all the way down my right-hand side.
Yeah.
But what I couldn't do before is this.
Wow! Come on.
Which I can now.
Okay. Let's go again. pray for the people that you're with. And then we'll go one more time, just to, for the people that haven't got a breakthrough yet. Amazing what you're doing, Jesus. Let's pray again. Bring breakthrough right now. It's fine, it's fine. Don't worry. Thank you. Remember, declare breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. We say, heaven, come right now. We release the kingdom of God right now. Say, pain, go. Healing, come. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. We celebrate that and we say, will you do some more? Will you do some more, God? Thank you, God. Bless you right now. Okay. Fantastic. Let's, if you can test it, try again. Move something, do something. Oh, shara baba ba yesaka baba. Shara baba. Just test it out. Move something. Okay, anyone else that's 80% or more healed that didn't share now? Fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Just wave at me. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Let's celebrate. Woo! Okay. Thank you so much. The last thing I want to do is I want to pray for everyone else that had not received the word of knowledge. And either you have an incurable disease, or because I want to pray for that. I believe that God is bigger than incurable diseases. So I want to pray for that. Or you need a healing and we didn't call out a word of knowledge. If that is you, can you please come forward? Just come forward. And then we're going to finish praying for that. If you can. There's some chairs up front if you need a chair. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. It's fine. Just take it. Take it for him. Okay. So, just the rest of us, can we come and pray? Just come forward. Right now. Just lay hands on people. Just very briefly, ask them what they are asked, what they need healing for. If they are willing to share. Let's go for it. Let's pray. We declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, arthritis leave people's bodies right now. Be healed right now. Just release healing right now in the name of Jesus. Healing right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. There is someone here that you're struggling to fall pregnant. And I just release, just receive right now, wherever you are. You don't have to share if that's you. I just feel like God's favor on that, so I speak life in the name of Jesus. Life in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I see someone's spine that isn't straight, like a curved spine. I just see alignment coming in the name of Jesus. If that's you, just receive alignment in the name of Jesus on your spine. I say, spine be lined up, straight in the name of Jesus. I command it over you right now. Straight spine in the name of Jesus. I release the word of the Lord over you now, right now. He loves you. He loves you so much. Just enjoy His love for you, His presence. He's right here for you. As someone here, you've got like a perpetual cold. Like a perpetual something in your nose, like a cold. Okay, receive, right? Just where you are. Just where you are. Yeah. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, be healed. Be healed. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, if you can test it, go test it. Go and test it. Do something. We see actually a lot of healing happening in the testing. Someone with tinnitus, I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Calm, Jesus. Love you, Dad. Love that you're healing. Okay. If there is someone here with 80% or more healing, just wave at me. Just wave at me if you've been healed 80% or more. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Can I ask you to stop praying? Just finish your prayers. Finish your prayers. Thank you so much. If you can test it, can you quickly test something? Now, I know lots of people can't, or it's not appropriate. But just, if you can test something, do it right now. And then if you, just any new people, if you have been 80% or more healed, just wave at me. Just wave at me. People that haven't responded yet. Is God doing anything? Well, He's doing loads, but... Just wave at me quickly. Okay, we've got to go one more time. Just anyone up front here, just let's go one more time. God is doing something, has done already some beautiful things. Let's just do it. Let's declare God's faithfulness, His power over people one more time, and then we're going to finish. Go for it.
Greatest thing in me, You are Lord, You are God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, if you can test it, go test it again. Move something. Try and move it. Come on. Let's bring it here. Could I have the mic? Okay. So just one second. Can we all come back for a moment? Thank you. Well done. What's happened?
I had back surgery in 2010, and as a side effect of that, I've been numb in the right side of my foot.
Yeah.
Since that time, I haven't been able to feel my toes at all, down there at all, and I constantly get a burning feeling in both my feet, and my leg sometimes goes numb, and it's just gone completely.
Really?
I can feel my toes.
You
yeah.
can feel your toes?
I can feel my toes.
For the first time in five years. Come on! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Woohoo!
I love that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, what I want you to remember in this moment is what Jairus did. Jairus celebrated or stayed when someone else got the breakthrough. And in our environment, we go wild when someone gets a breakthrough because we couldn't do it. Jesus did it. So can we celebrate it again? Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay. Just quickly receive from God. I'm just going to pray one more time and then we're going to go home and sleep and drink whiskey. So, come Holy Spirit, we need you. So right now, I pray for every person in this room. I just want to thank you for what you've done today, God. So many stories of your breakthrough. You're so kind. You're so faithful. Yet you rocked up today. I love you for it, God. Thank you so much. You are our King. You are our Lord. So I just say to every person in this room, I release an impartation of the spiritual gifts. Now run your race and run it well. I declare over all of you in the name of Jesus. Everything that we as a team, as a church, carry, as a program carry, I say, have it. Freely we receive, freely we give. It's all given by grace, and by grace we give it. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just quickly want to say that we've got some resources out at the table there as well. This is one about dream interpretation. Really amazing. One lady... We,